This is JFM Podcast.
Hello there, very good evening to you and welcome to the program Nigeria at Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. Ramadan, by the way, is on Monday. It's one of the periods in the Islamic calendar that I always look forward to because my friends are usually very kind and nice and, you know, they treat me nicely.
So what are you saying in essence?
Well, I'm not saying that my friends don't treat me, you know, nicely after Ramadan.
But that's the inference we're making.
Yeah,
obviously,
but
people like
they do their best, you know, when it's not Ramadan. But in Ramadan, I mean, they give all.
I hope they come for you anyway.
Well,
I hope they come for you.
They are nice to you. And I'm happy that I said it close to Ramadan. So I'm going to dodge them for 2 days. Not to meet them on Monday to say, Asharu Alafia. Well, Jumat Karim to you, Gilbert. How's the day? How's the going?
Good. I'm happy it rained. You know, yesterday I was quite expectant. I told you about how, before we began the show, a couple of people trooped into the office as they all thought it was going to rain. But it didn't rain as much as I was thinking. But it's favorable, and we hope the weather improves a bit for those of us who would want to experience what Jos should ordinarily be like in terms of the usual cold that greets the city and everyone there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the weather is good. It's very chill and calm. It's something that it's friendly to all. I would like to wish someone that I've come to closely follow a happy birthday. I'm talking about Honorable Pirfa Jingfa Tiam. There's this piece written by Miri Timnan Nyatao that I came across, and he wrote it because of his relationship with Honorable Pirfa. I'm going to just read a part of it, and then I'll make, you know, comment. He said, "On the occasion of a prosperous birthday, it is both a privilege and an honor to celebrate a friend who, over the course of many years of acquaintance, has become a brother. Of course, the days of struggles and indefatigability as unionists at the famous University of Jos for a better tomorrow, both for personal and public development, feature prominently. While we both laid early inscription as dogged comrades who could sacrifice everything in defense of student rights, Honorable Pirfa Jingfa Tiam led excellently as the national president of Tarok Student Association, Taroksa, and myself, the first Tarok student to be so elected as the president of Tarok National Association of Plateau State Student NAPS, University of Jos chapter. A relatively quiet and calm personality, maybe this inherited trait of his have proven to be his weakness, because opponents and critics easily jump on his calmness to attack his personality without any provocation. Late and early markers, having known each other for decades now, since who distinguished citizen and seasoned bureaucrat," on and on and on. Gilbert, if you recall, during the turbulent days of the ABOG, when, you know, there were just, I think, three people that stood out in absolute defense of, you know, democracy. Honorable Pirfa Tiam is one of them. He stood his ground and made sure that, I mean, in a very non-confrontational way, he has always maintained a very quiet and reserved demeanor, even in the face of apparent, you know, provocation. Of course, he's Tarok like me, and I understand the local politics, you know, back home. But it doesn't stop him. And I've always told people that Honorable Pirfa Tiam is one of the smart lawmakers we've had in the history of Langtang North local government. A lot of people will not know the things that he has done. But if you come, I'm not saying come close, just take some time and do some research. You understand, you know what I'm saying. Even when Governor Lalong locked the State House of Assembly complex, they still stood their ground. Of course, we heard the backstory that monies exchange hands, and these two people, you know, these three people, Right Honorable Abok, Honorable Dalio from Godson, and Honorable Pirfa Tiam, those are the ones who stood their ground and said, look, we're not going to allow money to induce or change our behaviors. we're going to do things, you know, the right way. We're going to protect our democracy. So this is from me to you, Honorable Peter Fatiem. Happy birthday. I hope that all this smartness, I mean, I'm attracted to people who are very smart, you know, because I always say that I have a little mind, but if I sit down with people who are smart, it makes me feel, you know, that, me too, I don't arrive, you know what I mean? And he has done, well, he's the special advisor to Governor Mutfang on resource mobilization. And there are a lot of things that, I mean, let me just keep my mouth shut. But happy birthday to you, Honorable Peter Fatiem. Know that you have a special place. Though, I mean, I'm supposed to report you to the people, but I think that if we can collaborate, there will be a lot of things that we're going to achieve to make society, for the common good of society, Gilbert.
Happy birthday to him. He's someone that is indeed smart. You have said that when you speak with him, you understand that you're dealing with a fine, you know, and brilliant gentleman.
Astute and, politician.
Yes, yes. You have said virtually everything, but the fact is, you never can take away his thinking, which is, I mean, top-notch, top-level thinking. And that's what, you know, Aristotle would say, leaders should be all about. Leaders should be philosophers. And when you see him, and when you speak with him, you relate with him on issues, both local and national. I mean, you understand the sort of person that he is indeed. So I also wish him and joined the thousands of many more individuals out there who wish him a very happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday to you. Well, Gilbert, I've been following the tour in the tour of the Honorable Commissioner for Local Government and Chieftaincy Affairs, Honorable Chief Ephraim Musuman. And I'm going to mention what he said and what he did. I mean, the things that he saw in Kwampan local government that has to do with the chairman. The chairman has been here once, you know, before. And you know that when he came here, he was telling us, I thought that he was just making boast. You know, he was just, you know how politicians will always, you know, hype themselves. But when the Commissioner for Local Government and Chieftaincy Affairs, you know, went there, saw things for himself, he said, I mean, in all of the places he has visited, he hasn't seen a TIC, you know, chairman that has done what Honorable Christopher Manship, you know, has done, especially in the areas of healthcare, you know. Gilbert, just for context, in the entire southern plateau, you just have one snake, I think, treatment, the one you have in Zamko. Mm. But what Honorable Christopher has done is to bring one close to Kwampan. I mean, you have one snake bite. I forgot him, but it
but
has
you
to do
spoke
with,
about that here.
Yeah, well, but that's what the commissioner, you know, said. Mm-hmm. The commissioner, look, he said, I mean, he saw it with his own eyes, and there's increased, you know, bed space, you know, there for people to get treated. So it's, for me, it just shows vision, and it shows the kind of leadership that will really assess or analyze the needs of the people before administering governance. Instead of, you know, like other TICs, they'll always be in jaws, but not with the people. But just look at what Honorable Christopher is doing. Sticking with the people, understanding what their basic needs are, and, you know, giving, attending to them at the most, in the places where the need is most, I would say.
Yeah, he said, in response to what, you know, Honorable Ephraim Usman said, because I followed that story closely, and of course we did have our colleague here in the office, you know, go along with them, you know, as part of that tour, to report the issues basically. And in his response, he said they carry out all their projects based on needs assessment. They first have to evaluate what's the priority at the moment, what's first needed, you know, and what can impact the people directly, before eventually embarking on some of those projects. And it means there is so much consideration, there's serious consideration, you know, before services are delivered to the people. And I think it was in the same area that they made provision for buses, you know, for people who are in the rural areas to access. Once there's a distress call, someone is in need, perhaps a woman is in labor, and the distance is just too long, she can be transported from the rural area to, you know, where she can access medical care and all that. So you, of course, have to give credit where credit is due for people who take out the time and the patience to deliver services, especially when it's their responsibility in a country where accountability is more or less not even the watchword for people who serve, you know, at public offices.
Yeah, very, very true. So, well, Honorable Christopher Manship, please continue doing the good work. I've been to Compound, you know, several times, and agricultural community with huge potential of even feeding, I would say, the Middle Belt region. But if you go there, virtually nothing is happening there in terms of economy because there's no critical infrastructure there. Well, I think we should just introduce our guest, Gilbert.
Pastor, okay. Let's look at the issue in Kaduna, where 280...
yesterday.
Yeah, schoolgirls were abducted. And just before that, there was another incident in Borno, where 200 women were abducted. And we've gone back to the Chibok days and the Dapchi days. Many people will say there is some unity or unison in terms of... Dapchi and Chibok with regards to the Chi there, despite the fact there is God in the Igbo language, but yet the people had to deal with that those tragedies that took place. And I think that we should have gone past this stage, but unfortunately, it's still happening. So my biggest concern is there have been these accusations and counter-accusations about people politicizing security, you know, to be able to grab power, political power in essence. But you had Goodluck Jonathan, you had President Muhammadu Buhari, and you now have President Bola Ahmed Tinubu. But the same incidents are reoccurring. You know, the question now is, who is playing politics with the issues? If you're saying that before you came to power, for example, the APC before you took over power was politicizing the issues and perhaps even abducted or connived, as, you know, the grapevines had it at the time. Now, these people are in power. You know, so why exactly is informing the decision, if at all those accusations are anything to go by? That's what I'm saying exactly. But it's tough. It's tough when you have people whose only crime is that they went to seek education, which is a basic necessity, you know, for existing or living in a world today. Mm. And people are such innocent state. And I like what the first lady said. She said, you have to be a coward to take people at that level rather than go to confront people who perhaps...
Able-bodied.
Yes, are able-bodied and so can to confront say. You. Yeah. Yes, do you get? So, yeah. I don't know what else the country has to do to be able to arrest this issue once and for all. And we'll now be here talking about how to rescue these ladies, I mean, these girls. Because already the National Security Advisor is saying, or is assuring, guaranteeing, that they would return home safely. How many of them would indeed, at the end of the day, return home safely, as he has said? We have seen this over and over and again, and it's sickening.
Yeah. Well, let's just introduce our guests and start the conversation. Today is International Women's Day, and the theme for this year is Inspire Inclusion. Part of the theme, you know, that's the theme for this year, basically. The theme is Invest in Women, Accelerate Progress, but there's a hashtag to it, Inspire Inclusion. We have Hajia Lantana Abdullahi Bako. She's here with us. Good evening. Thank you so much for coming. And it's good to see you after a long time.
Indeed. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah. You heard his comments about Ramadan and what his friends would do.
Of course, he's welcome to come and take iftar.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. We have the chairman of Plateau Peace Practitioners Network, Mr. Poakim Choji. Thank you, Jacob, for coming. Thank you so much for coming. And the executive director at Yava. Yeah. Thank you for coming, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, I'll begin with you, Hajia Lantana. Today is International Women's Day. I know that you've been you've always advocated for an inclusive society. But on a day like this, what comes to your mind? Are you satisfied with the level of inclusion, you know, especially of the women gender or even male gender? But since it's International Women, let's talk about women. Are you satisfied with the level of progress that you're seeing?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm satisfied, but I will also not say we are not making progress. So we are making baby steps. We are taking baby steps to for making, you know, and ensuring inclusion for women. Unfortunately, like you all know, this celebration today was marked by the dark incident that occurred in Kaduna and in other parts of the country, and that, you know, buttressed the fact that inclusion is still far away from full inclusion, I would say, is still far away from women. Because if you look at these data and statistics, you see that we have more women in captivity, more women being at risk of being abducted than men. And that tells you that the potential for women and girls to, you know, aspire to be who they want, to dream big, to be credible and good members of society, is being threatened by all the things happening around us, beyond the security threats to the survival of the woman to her full potential. We have other factors, other indicators that things are not going well for the woman, especially in the country today. When you talk about having more women as heads of families because they have lost their husbands, they have lost their, you know, sons, you see that the body has gone too far to women. But we are also in a country and context where the woman, especially in those years, were not fully empowered to be able to take on this burden. The rights to reproductive rights. You know, how can I take care of myself as a woman, make decisions about family issues, about children? You know, those are things that also affect the woman, health-wise, you know, education-wise, economic-wise, how many women have access to financial resources or financial services. Mm. Till today, we are in a country where a woman cannot walk into the bank
and
you know, request for, you know, credit services. We are also in a country where they say bail is free, but a woman has no right to bail, you know, someone who is, you know, in police custody. So these are challenges that has continued to be a burden, continued to stall our progress as women. But again, if you look at the overall polity, I wouldn't say we are not making progress, but we are not making good progress.
Okay, but will you recommend stronger legislation? You know, because you made something very, I would say, revealing, and it's now that I'm looking at it, I never saw it that women are the most vulnerable, you know, gender to be abducted, you know, to go through. Rightly said that there are more women in captivity right now, you know, than men. Will you recommend stronger legislation, or what exactly are we going to do as a society to help, you know, protect the women and deal with those who are taking advantage, you know, of women? Because obviously it's not issue of gender-based violence.
Not alone. There are other factors that I think the government has more role to play. For example, making education a right, and a basic human right for all citizens, especially for the girl child. Because in a society we live, families are forced to make priorities over who should be educated. And oftentimes, the girl child is neglected, you know, in favor of the male child due to economic or cultural reasons. So I think making sure that education is a right and enforcing those legislation is also very critical. Definitely we have, you know, a policy in Nigeria where basic education is compulsory.
Yeah.
But how are we making sure that that basic education is accessible for all? It's also a matter of enforcement. So I think that area, security is a big issue. Mm-hmm. What do we do to deter people who continue to abduct women and girls? We don't think that the right punishment is meted, because abduction, kidnapping has become very lucrative. And until we break that, you know, linkage of making sure people are punished for what they do to this country, taking us back 100 years, we can't imagine. We used to hear stories about abduction, but we never knew that in 21st century, we'll still be living those times. So I think punishment, the right punishment to deter people from abducting people, is very, very important. Education is very important. But most importantly, decision making.
Yeah.
Countries like Rwanda don't have two heads, don't have two presidents.
Yeah.
They actually have one president. And they've been able to put a political policy, a law in place that empowers women by having 35 affirmative action. We've tried that severally in Nigeria, but every time we go to the legislative arm of government, it is thrown away. Because I think
why is that happening?
I really think that women have not been able to come together to showcase that we are a very strong voice. We are 50% of the population of Nigeria.
Absolutely.
And I think it is disrespectful for the legislature to continue to treat women as second-class citizens in Nigeria. So I think it's a problem both sides. The legislators have, maybe they lack the education, the awareness to understand that women are critical stakeholders in this country.
Or is it cultural orientation?
I think it has to do with that. It also has to do with that. But I think we are beyond just blaming culture to be the bane of our problems. And I think women agency also has to be more louder. I think taking accountability and forcing political leaders to be accountable to women agency is critical. We are still mobilizing, we are still connecting, we are still networking as women, but I think we've not been able to break that jinx to making sure that recognition for women at all levels is critical. So these are some of the key, policies that are lacking in this country, because at the end of the day, unless we are on the table making the decisions along with men, I don't think that issues about women will, gain the center stage that we deserve.
Yeah.
Mr. Parkin, let's talk about, some of the challenges to women inclusion, and that includes certain biases, that it comes with their physique, for example, and all of these issues. What gains have we made over time? Because she made a reference to, baby steps, taking baby steps and all of that. Have those baby steps yielded results as expected? What do you see? Of course, you work with women, you work with all, peoples across various strata of society. And what are some of the challenges and opportunities, basically?
Okay, you see, first of all, happy International Women's Day, and thank you to JFM for always standing by our women and standing by the society. We know how much it could have cost to really have this program being aired, but in the usual manner of JFM, you granted the permission to acknowledge it today. So thank you. Okay, you see, the problem of women with regards to the issue of inclusion, because they say inspire inclusion, the campaign team, is both internal and external. It's just like looking at the SWOT analysis. You get to see as giant steps have been made. So for instance, in Plateau State from 1999 to this very moment, we've produced 2 deputy governors. So the question again is, this: the 2 deputy governors, how have they been an inspiration to women? What other women have they really mentored? These are all questions. We've had senators, the number of senators in the Senate have been dwindling. It can increase today, decrease tomorrow, and all whatnot. So all the Grace Bend, let's come here to Plateau State, Benny Lar, Joyce, Lamrad,
Ramnap.
All these people, who have they really who have they really inspired? Let's look at it within the home front. Who have they reproduced? Now, you see, politics, when we talk about inclusion, today I woke up and I was just so angry. Angry because in our organization, we have, apart from myself and one other male, all of them are female. And I told them, come, let's reason together. All the opportunities we have created for you, how have you taken advantage of them? So you get to see a woman, it's not just an orientation thing. It's just the fact that some of them just feel that we don't owe so much to the society. Parents of today are trying their best to see that they fight this within the home front. Because we grew up in a home where our parents would tell us the same work that our only sister was doing was the same work that I was also doing. I was pounding just like the way my sister was doing. So my mother has done a lot to really change the narrative. But the whole thing is, are we taking the battle today? We're not talking about quota system. I made a post this morning. We're not talking about quota system. We're sick and tired of talking about, give us 35%, give us the ones that have received the percentage. What have they really done with it? Has it multiplied? What transformation have we really gotten? So for us, we need to really begin to look at this thing. We're not talking about women should be empowered. We're talking about women coming to make a case. You're not making a case about quota system. You're making a case that the men should stop being aggressive at you. The men should allow you to operate the same way they are operating. And if you're not aligned us, we're taking the battle ourselves. Who are the people who cast those votes? Let me tell you one thing. When we talk of domestic violence, we do the context of International Women's Day. If I shout at my wife and my wife look at me and say, young man, what's the problem? You think tomorrow I'll shout at her? At times we say, no. Sheepishly, when the man errs, we sheepishly accepted it. We're not promoting violence. But let me tell you, we've gotten to a level that women must be assertive in this whole conversation. There must be government policies that does not just promote inclusion, government policies that deal with issues that undermine inclusion, that undermine equity. For me, this is where we are going to go. We don't need to do pity party for women. They are the people who come out to vote more than us. If today, if our young girls decide to say that we want to change a government, they are going to change it. But do you know one funny thing? Those young girls do not come out to cast their votes. Year in, year out, we keep on coming back to the drawing board and say we're not included. Come and cast your vote. Organize yourself. You can do, you normally do Zumunta. In the church, you sing on Sunday. You think your job ends and singing on Sunday? Women are the most organized group. I have said it in this platform, and I've said it on other platforms. They are the most organized platform. But the question is, why have they not organized themselves to take over democracy?
I'm going to come to you. But, ma'am, you seem to love some of the things that he's saying, obviously, from what I see. It said that empowered women empower women.
Yeah.
And here is somebody puncturing that statement of fact. And I think that he's making some kind of sense there.
Yes.
And, of course, many women also believe that International Women's Day is just a claptrap that we just gather and say, oh, today is women, and it passes. Then women forget that they're supposed to advocate for things, you know, and inclusion and all of these things. Help us to understand what he has said, basically. Is it really true that empowered women end up empowering other women? Or actually, in paper, in truth, that's different?
I think I really do agree with him. I also have raised a lot of concerns around the kind of women we empower. Who are these women that we empower? Do they actually have the voice of women to be where they are? So that's the question, that if the women did not bring such women to power, we all know that participation in political processes in Nigeria is often defined by patronage,
yeah,
by your identity, by your godfather, by the money bags behind you. So oftentimes, it is not the women that present such candidates to represent women. It is the men that decide such women. So when they come into power, I don't think they feel that they owe anything to the woman, because women did not play any role in bringing her into power. At most times, you hear women are against women. So I think the goal is that women must be able to say, we are presenting this candidate. And that way, we can be able to hold that woman in power accountable to the woman agency. So at the point we are going in Nigeria, men sit in a round table and decides who occupies the governor sometimes, who occupies the VP, who occupies the president or senator. And so I don't think that they actually feel. And because our political system is often not developed in a mentor-mentee process, I think that's the biggest gap that Paul Kim is talking about. You know, sure. We actually don't have that. What we have is a political leader having people who are hyping and shouting behind him. But there is no system that treats people in a mentee process, that trains people to aspire to be who they are. Well, we have our talks, our political hangers on, our people who just hype the person, get the few things they can get and go on. But there is no process in place that says this man has the potential, this young woman, this young man has the potential to be a governor in the next 20 years. So when we have people that we are training, we are mentoring, then I am coaching, I think we can be able to say that. So I think it's the whole system, and culture ultimately plays a role in this regard. We can't talk about it, the woman, the way women are queens to a lot of things in the society, it is the way we brought up. I am a woman. I had boys behind me, and I know what happened to my own family, where I'm expected to do the house chores. Even this morning, we were reflecting on the International Women's Day, and we're talking about how we're brought up versus how today's children are brought up. When I was growing up, I was the girl. I was the one to do the house chores, to clean and wash after the boys, to do the cooking and do everything. And then because that's the way we are, we didn't have any voice to question what was happening, to challenge what was happening. And so a lot of women who are in their 40s, 50s today, grew up with that sense of mentality that we cannot question things, we cannot judge, we cannot demand, you know, anything from anyone. So I think it's a culture. But I'm happy that today we are raising a generation of young people who are very vocal, who are very outspoken. So where we are now is accompanying. We are trying to accompany these emerging young women leaders, because I'll tell you, our generation failed because we didn't have a voice, an agency. We didn't have voices. We were unable to demand for anything. Even when Kwaki made reference to the home front, partners in marriages, every time when, no, I mean, women could not ask a man, why did you shout at me? Even when you report abuses, your family will tell you every woman faced that. Mark that in.
So there's
in
a sharp improvement.
Yes,
saying.
There is. Oh, there are emerging young women leaders who would think that they are going to change the narrative and transform the way women engage in politics, in development, in economics, in finances, you know, in media and so many other fields.
All right. Pakim, I don't know if you're the right person to address this question, or she probably would have been, but, excuse me, are days like this, you know, a reminder that women have to dismantle patriarchy, or there's a space, or there's a balance that could be struck, you know, between the women folk and men folk in order to champion the cause of society and the values that all of us most cherish?
Sure, of course. You know, this day gives us a lot of things to do. To appreciate women that are making progress, to appreciate our progress that we're making as a society. Because when a woman makes progress, it is all of us that have made the progress. So it's to appreciate that and to also reflect, what are the loopholes? What are the gaps? And in like the campaign team, which is different from the men team, which is inspire inclusion. Now, the inspire inclusion today we're reflecting is, okay, like in the next, from now to that period, to the next International Women's Day, how have we been able to inspire inclusion? What deliberate steps have we really made? What steps did we make last year that could not yield fruit? Because what today we're discussing is something that we inherited years ago. It is something that was there before, and to today, where women are still fighting it, men are joining them. A day like this is also to realize that women cannot just do it alone. They also need other strong voices among the men that would really say, hey, we appreciate the need that all of us must be equal. What I always tell people is that I could have been the woman. I would normally jokingly tell my wife that in my next world, I would definitely not come as a woman, because I still want to maintain, to enjoy what today the male folks are enjoying. She said, no, come as a woman. But one thing that I've always told people, because we cannot leave this conversation without reminding women that they are very strong and powerful. I always cite this critical example. Men, in their usual ego, will tell you that, no, it's like that. Take a lady of your age, the same lady of your age that you were born on the same day. Measure your sense and her sense. You see that she's smarter than you. Let me tell you, this is like normal. Do you know why? These children grew up. They grew up with their parents while the boys are busy playing game, are watching this, are forming men of the house, while the women are multitasking. And that is why I've always said this. When you check in our class, I can tell successively in the sociology department, best graduating students have been women. It's not just because they are extraordinary. It's the way that they work with their women, with their mothers, and their mothers were putting them right to prepare them to be good women, so that you don't shame the family. Why can't we leverage on such potentials? It is not for us to conclude. See, like I said, it's not a pity party thing. Let's look at what are the opportunities. We have a lot. The economy is going down. The economy is going down. Politically, we're losing our sanity. There are reported cases that the politics in Plateau State is beginning to get into, as it has been. See, we need people to come and stabilize the system, whether man or woman. All we care about is the woman on this, the man and the woman in the village. Can they go out to the farm and farm peacefully, regardless of whether it is a man that is a governor or it is a woman that is a governor?
Yeah.
But again, women must show strength. Women must show willingness. Women must show doggedness.
Let's talk about, I'll come to you, Haji Alanta. Let's talk about raising boys and, you know, the cultural expectations and the religious, you know, expectations of raising boys. Do you think that if we change how we raise boys, maybe these boys will grow up, and if they become policymakers, they'll say, no, I've got to do better. I've got to make the world more just and inclusive, you know, for women. Women are not just object of pleasure or second class, you know. They can equally compete with me.
I think that the kind of men we have today, it's a product of their upbringing.
Yeah.
Almost 100%. Mm. And I think that tells you that we need to do better right from the home front. I think we need to do much more better, because we think that men who have perpetrated evil violence against women is the nature of how they were brought up. Not to respect women, who were given free time to do whatever they want, who were, you know, told that women are second-class citizens. Women can be treated however a man wishes to do that. So I think like the question about patriarchy came up. I think these are things we need to work against. We need to work on. Patriarchy is good. Of course, they hold our customs and traditions, you know, and things. But I think the notion that a boy child is better than a girl child, I think we need to address that. And that's the campaign, and I see a lot, you know, that we need to do better as parents. Because I think that even as women, you know, despite all the fact that we are good in other fields,
yeah,
I think there are areas that we have not done well. Yeah. Because we are enablers. We are enablers. Mm-hmm. We enable men to treat and even treat our boy children different from the way we treat our girl children, because we feel that that's the expectation of the society. I have four boys, but I don't treat them that way, because I saw what I went through as a girl, doing everything for my junior brothers. They were my juniors, but I was doing everything for them. And I felt that's not the way to live life. I was traumatized by that, and I made a vow to be able to change the way I want to train my own children. So I think every woman must challenge that, the tradition where male children can do whatever they want to do, however they want to do what, whenever they want to do it. Mm. I think we need to challenge that. So I always want to feel that, yes, the society has done bad, you know, to us as women, but women have also been enablers in most instances. Okay. Right. And I think training and changing and transforming male or boys must start from the home front. And that's where the job, the real job starts.
Yeah, maybe Parkin would like to make comment, because he has two boys.
Definitely. And these two boys, they are definitely not going to find it easy. Because, like she has said, see, I'm going to be a proud father.
Yeah.
If my daughter-in-law would, see, the kind of men, if you have a responsible husband, go back to the home front and thank the parents. If you have an irresponsible husband, I remember my late mother will always tell us that if we marry and we are not taking care of our children, our wife, that she will come with koboko and flog us. And you know what? Because as a child, I felt the neglect. It pained me. And I vowed that my incapacitations, there are things that God should help me not to show incapacitation in. It's to show love to my family. Now, you see, there's a project that I was telling Hajia outside. We need to begin to just, a lot has been invested. You see, we are women doing with women, doing with girls. Mm-mm. What of the boys? What have we done for the boys? And yet it is the same boys that we want them on the wedding day. You say, I will take you as my lovely wedded wife. That wedding night, they go start that problem. Because you have not given them the right orientation about even how to treat the woman and all whatnot. They are coming from homes where the father sits down, crosses his legs, and the mother does everything. She goes to the market, she does everything, she goes to make money, and she does everything, and the father sits down, and the child sits down and says, oh, all is well. So currently we're beginning to even probe interventions that have been done within the civil society space. Why can't we also begin to bring these young boys to train them? It's not just to tell them this is what you need to do. It's to probe them and let them discuss it and even interrogate what is happening to them. What if they were women? Would they really accommodate the kind of society that today they have?
Yeah, okay.
I had something real quick. For men who see women as threats, you know, what word would you have for them? I think probably you just in a few seconds address this issue, because you have these problems coming up. When a woman advances, some men are threatened in organizations, in different settlements and all of that. How do you address these issues?
We're just back to where we are coming from. If the man is being brought up to believe that he's more superior than the wife, then of course, if the woman is growing, I told my wife one day, I said, see, me too, I want to be Oga Madam husband. You do the job, you go to big places, I sit down and be taking my wine at home. You think I have problem with that? I don't. If God have blessed you, for me, I'm coming from a spiritual angle. There are, at times as a man and woman, at times God will bless you. You have the grace. It is either your wife that will have the grace or you that will have the grace. And if any of you have the grace, the other person, but again, it boils down to discussion. You must be able to discuss. I used to tell them in relationship and marriage, I would tell my wife, hey, what is that thing that you think I'm doing that is making you angry, that will make you angry, that you've never had the opportunity to tell me? It's just to open up the channel of conversation so that maybe it is even the person is inferring, but it is not really like that. So families must discuss. Families must agree that it must not always be the man. And you know what this conversation about the man thing? If I am not able to provide for my family, at times they don't even, the society does not even bother whether I'm putting a lot of effort or not. They say, I am not man enough. That is the idea that is also making men, that will say, if the woman is making more money than me, they will say, no, the society will say, I'm not man enough. So what I will do is to ensure that I make that money to prove to the world that I'm man enough. See, we need to really query a lot of things, how we ascribe a performance, how we even review performance in the home front.
All right.
To this question, and I think it's a reality that, you know, a lot of people feel threatened by empowered, successful women or young girls. And it's, like I said, it's the way they were brought up. If they were brought up to see women as capable of doing things, the same thing they are doing and contributing to the advancement of their societies, I think that problem will not arise. And today, that's why we have certain voices who are called, you know, for feminism, and men going, you know, crazy about the word feminism, you know. These are challenges that we'll continue to have. But I think it's all a product of, you know, the way we were brought up.
The orientation.
But most importantly, also the lack of education. Because I feel, as a Muslim woman, I feel I have more men who feel threatened by women. But when we go to history, the first wife of our holy prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Khadija, who was 40 years while he was 25 years, who was very rich, and he was a trader. He was working for her. So in history, even in the history of our religions, we can actually see that. When we go to Bible, there are also examples of empowered women. You know, I once read the story of Hannah, of Esther, you know, so many women like that who were empowered. So these are borrowed stories that people work with, because if they truly were trying to work from the perspective of religion, I think that religion has been very clear about it. There are examples, very good examples, of how women were very successful, who were living in good marriages, who were married holy men, you know, and who lived happily with them, had children with them. And so where is this our own coming from? Because it definitely is not defined by our religion, by our traditions. It is actually a borrowed, you know, story that we are working on, trying to deprive women from going to where they are supposed to be and contributing or being meaningful citizens of the society.
Yeah, well, let's open the conversation. In case you want to join the conversation, we've been having a chat with Haji Alantana Abdullahi and Mr. Pwakim Jacob Choji. And we're looking at the International Women's Day, which is 8th of March. That's today. You can join the conversation 081-2187-7777 or you call 090-5566-6699.
You can drop your comments at JFM Live on Facebook, that is, and on X at JFM Jaws.
Let's take the first call. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Hello?
Yes, thank you for calling. Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
Good evening, Mr. Ponsard, Gilbert Joseph, and your two guests there in the studio.
Thank you. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you so very much. This is Comrade Marambulus Mandiu calling you from Dafo in Bokos.
Go ahead, sir.
I think I would like to agree with what your guests have said, most importantly, the parking. Because women, in fact, even within themselves, they don't love themselves. Yes. If you see, they are very good in forming groups. Whether it is in the church or even within the society. But you discover that, if you go there, you discover that, within the groups, there are another groups. Trying to gossip and tell what about the other, their fellow women. And it's very bad. So what are we talking about? If really women... No, they really want to their voice to be heard. Then definitely they have to jettison and throw away all the malice. They have within them. Because how can I vote for this woman? If I vote for her, tomorrow, she will grow horns or she will take us for granted or she will feel that she's on top of the world. And that is always the assertion from the side of the women. I think that they have to forget about all those things. But no matter what. In fact, come together, in fact, rally around what your fellow woman, in fact, you know it to say that way, you must demand. Because, there's no any question that will tell you that, no, we have to bring out or to spell out a particular position that is meant for women. There's no anything that, to me, if you ask me, for me, there's no any question that will say, okay, let's do this and that, because... No, you have to go out there and fight. Eh? You have to go out there and compete. Compete with other.
Yeah, well, wrap up your thoughts. About.
Understand? So women should come together, in fact, with one voice and champion whatever they want to champion. And again, some of the women that we are giving the opportunity, if you look at it, in fact, there are a lot of them that they are disgracing the women. Look at the recent minister of humanitarian affairs that he was recently be appointed by the president. She sees the mess that she has made there. So it's really quite unfortunate. Some of the women, seriously, they are not representing their fellow women very well.
Thank you
very much. Have a wonderful time.
Thank you. You too. Thank you for your thoughts there. Well, I always get surprised if I hear men saying that women don't support women. I don't know exactly what they mean, by saying that, But, well, we'll see. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Hello, good evening.
Thank you for calling. Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
Yeah, thank you very much. My name is Eddie Kumar. I'm calling from Kitchen and Key Junction.
We're listening. Thanks for calling.
Yes. First of all, I want to wish a happy Women's Day for all the women in the world. You see, when we look at the women, they play a very, very vital role when it comes to community development, even the national development. But the women, that they are training things from home. Thank God, Hajia, she is from the northern side. Our northern people doesn't give that woman much of an advantage before, because most of the women are treated just as a housewife. They will not give them opportunity to work as another work. But you see, when we look at the women that have been trained and she have been equipped and have been educated, and have the opportunity to a certain position. You see, the role that woman have played is very, very vital. We have seen Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala, now she's flying, which is very, very recommended. The women have to get that orientation of being into the national development is from how, and even the people in the community have to cooperate. Even the husband has to play a vital role to keep their women. Most of the husband doesn't give their women some advantage when it comes to development. They will see that the women will lead the house and they deter them from that advantage. So all these things have to be equipped and look forward to it. And lastly, as your girl has all said, the women doesn't love themselves. Because when you come to politics or when you come to leadership, you will see a very, very good woman that's supposed to be a leader. But she will not have the support of other women. Why? Because the other women are jealous or envy of their certain position. But you see, if women can able to unite themselves and able to say that they are going to face the leadership, even in politics, even in any kind of leadership, when you come to vote, the most of the voters are women. When you go to voting polling unit, you will see the number of women are much more than the men. So you see, women are very, very advantaged.
Thank you.
So the women have to unite themselves so that they can get it right. Thank you very much. God bless.
Thank you. Well, Gilbert, take
Let's
us through.
Yeah. A few comments on Facebook. Yeah. Comrade Longa Dao says, Happy International Women's Day to all women around the world. Let's put African culture away and respect our women and call for Nigerian government to give women more opportunities to serve in government. Fakuka Gowon says, Women are doing great in the society. There is the need for governments, communities, and organizations to inspire and include women in all angles of activities. Women are a wonderful creation. Don Z says, Nigerian husbands are often reluctant to support their wives. Okay, their wives' desires to engage in active politics. And women themselves believe that political participation would negatively impact their ability to perform their primary duties as caretakers, thus leading to broken homes and breeding of irresponsible children. Julius Achigak says, Women should be given equal opportunities as men. With women in leadership positions, we will experience better society, and Nigerian women are passionate, full of love and care. God bless JFM. J Comedian says, I want women to be given opportunities to become president or governor in the country. Let us feel their own style of leadership. Bold Dave Jonathan says, Women are social fabric throughout the world. It's unfortunate that some societies still expect women to be seen and not heard. Inclusion can be attained by challenging these expectations and promoting equal opportunities for women to participate and have their voices heard. It's about empowering women to express themselves and breaking down barriers that limit their involvement. Together, we can inspire change and create a more inclusive society. Hashtag inspire inclusion. Izang Asi has this to say. Happy International Women's Day to all the women. Hope to see you, many women and ladies in various political offices, and many more. I love you guys, and God bless JFM. Pam Ishaya Luka says, Happy International Women's Day to all the great women around the world. The contributions of women towards building and developing the society and the nation at large cannot be overemphasized, as women have been the bedrock and pillar of our society. Though we are advocating for women to be actively engaged and involved in decision and policy-making processes, they also have a greater role to play by showing good examples. Wabnen Goma Jr. says, Happy World Women's Day. Without a woman, there will be no man. Let's respect women and create an inclusive society. The major concern is cultural practices. Some of these cultures are not favorable at all for inclusive society. Break the issue to the grassroots, not urban society only. The task is to fight for the women in the rural areas. Yeah. Big ups to the Hajia and Sapokin.
Well, Hajia, please go ahead and give your response and your final okay. word. You heard from what the people are saying.
Thank you so much. Yeah. And I think a lot of the contribution from men saying women are not doing enough. And I remember Joaquin was saying the agenda of women cannot be achieved without supportive men. We have already acknowledged
yeah,
that.
Hajia, let me make this comment, then maybe you yes. are comment on.
Yeah.
If a woman is well paid in the job that she does, yeah. you know, they will say she's not going to get a husband to marry.
Yes.
If she's into politics, they will yeah. say that
exactly.
she's selling her body.
Yes, exactly.
So anything that a woman does to make progress for yeah. herself,
yes.
in our society, they will say,
Yes, so I think it's a lot of, there needs to be a change in our narratives, in the way we engage about women's issues. I still don't think, even from the comments you can hear, a lot of the blame is on the woman. not looking at the factors around the woman. A lot of women are, yes, we belong to groups. We are good in networking. But remember, our networking is well-defined. In the church, we know what we are talking about, or in the mosques. We know that we are talking about community development, you know, religious development. You know, it's there are not objectives, not political.
Okay.
So our agencies are defined, our engagements are defined. I will tell you till today, when we go out to vote, the husband will come and tell the woman, you are voting this party and this candidate. So we still don't have a voice in the real sense. So a lot of the blame that men still give us, I think they have not been able to open up their hearts, you know, hearts to see. Like comments about one failure, one woman failing, it becomes a burden on all women. There are 1,000 men that fail in this country one woman fails. And I'll give you the example. There's this representative from Kano who tried to collect bribe money from Otedola. Yeah. It was in millions of US dollars. Who is talking about that story?
No, we've been Gandhi.
You know, so there are a lot of, you know, things. Men need to do better. That's what we are asking.
Thank you.
You need to support us starting from today in, you know, as you are wishing us happy International Women's Day, we need to see you change change for the better supporting women and girls.
Thank you for coming.
It's for me to just adopt what Hadji Alantana have said. This journey is our collective journey. Yeah. When a woman is empowered, the society is empowered. You know it. I know it. Let's just have the courage to face it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Hadji Alantana. Thank you, Apoakim, for coming. Well, Gilbert, no final word because we're really out of time. My name is Ponsak Fan Abdul. Have a good weekend. The news will come your way top of the hour, 6 o'clock by now.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.